Hello and welcome to The Giggle.
The Giggle.
So I wish we were videotaping right now because we're sitting in a suite at the
50 Bowery Hotel, a luxury oasis in the heart of Chinatown.
I love it. I have to admit that I went to a different Bowery Hotel today.
Yes.
I thought I was at 50 Bowery. But I was actually at 330 something Bowery.
Well, they're both fabulous hotels.
Yes,
this
they
is,
are.
This is very special. It is a modern luxury skyscraper in a very traditional, old school neighborhood that has kind of kept its appeal and charm through the years. So it's you see this giant modern building in a very neighborhood that hasn't really changed in many years, so that's really cool because it's kept its flavor and its history and tradition and
flavor. Yeah, yes. Chinatown.
Chinatown.
We used to go to Wo Hop.
Oh, I don't know what that
you
is.
You don't even know what Wo Hop
no.
is. Wo Hop is like one of the most famous restaurants in Chinatown.
Oh yeah.
When I was a little kid, my parents every year there would be like one time a year we'd go to Wo Hop.
Nice.
And that was like, and it was just, you know, one of those like. You go in, it's not like it's fancy.
Right.
It's like they yell at you. You know, you don't want to, like, mess up when you're there. You just get the usual, the wonton soup or whatever else. But, yeah, that was one of my favorite things. And I finally figured the name of the restaurant that we went to that also is dim sum, Golden Unicorn.
Golden Unicorn. Okay.
So that's another one.
All
that's
right.
A really good dim sum place. So those are my two pearls of wisdom.
Nice.
Chinatown diner.
Well, 50 Bowery Hotel has 229 rooms, so it's a very small boutique hotel by New York standards. Amazing view of the skyline, just absolutely incredible. You could see the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Building and all the buildings that are being built for billionaires.
Yes, exactly. There's a retail space across the street for lease, Jeremy. So if we wanted to rent right around here,
absolutely.
We could. That, and since we will be taking pictures today, the one thing we've been very bad about at all these fabulous hotels is not taking pictures.
Yes.
We've had so much fun that we forgot to actually
take pictures.
I know,
the Carlisle, the Chatwell.
Yeah,
and,
we did. But the thing is here, we have the luxury of being in a beautiful suite. So we're literally sitting right now in a living room with this spectacular view of the city, with the skyline in the distance, and it's really a beautiful space. You can see every part of Manhattan from
it really
you know,
is a panoramic views. So this is the Joie de Vivre hotel
French.
Company.
Oh, okay.
This is one of theirs, and it is while it's modern, it's very it's really steeped in the culture of Chinatown, and it's actually owned by two families with deep Asian roots. I'm not going to pronounce their names because I will probably mispronounce it. but two families, one in Hong Kong and one in New York, and it has a permanent exhibit from the Museum of Chinese in America on the second floor.
Oh, we should
of
check
the hotel.
That out.
So we will look at that. It also has a restaurant called Rice and Gold, which is its signature restaurant, offering contemporary Asian cuisine kind of a fusion thing going on. So, and on the 21st floor, there is The Crown, which is their
rooftop
bar
yeah.
and lounge.
So is it enclosed or is it...
We will
have
to check.
Check. Out. I would like to check
so
that
it
out.
Features globally inspired street food and an Asian inspired cocktail program.
Globally inspired. It's almost like, did you see Crazy Rich Asians?
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah.
So is it like that?
I don't know what
to
say.
You go up to the window and you're like, somebody orders for you and you're like, bring it to the table and you're like, oh, okay, I'll eat that. Is it moving? No.
Do you know someone last night? No, not on what's today? Well, on Wednesday night. Someone told me that they read the book Crazy Rich Asians and Charlie CM's name was dropped.
In the book,
the characters were saying how they went to a party and Charlie actually performed.
Wow.
And I'm like,
he probably was at, now we have to, Charlie CM is one of Jeremy's fabulous clients. He's a famous violinist and he's like almost like royalty.
Yeah, he's like 33 years old. He's drop dead gorgeous, was the face of Dior. He is classically trained. He went to Eton between Prince William and Prince Harry. He went to Cambridge. I mean, he's just like the perfect person.
So he probably was, he probably absolutely must have attended one of those kinds of weddings that we, you know, from Crazy Rich Asians, which is unbelievable.
He, it's very strange. It's not very strange, but he gets paid to perform all over the world. And I know Karl Lagerfeld actually hired him to perform at a Chanel function. And they were in New York, and they rented this giant yacht, and they went around the tip of Manhattan, and Charlie just performed walking through, and there's Carl and Anna and Donatella, and
he's like the Forrest Gump of the fiddle. He just keeps showing up in places in history. He's like, okay, I was at Harry and Meghan's wedding.
Yeah, he is just absolutely brilliant and very in demand. So, and speaking of, Karl Lagerfeld passed away.
I know you were broken up about
that. I was very upset about that because he is on my bucket list of wanting to meet people. And I just ran out of time.
Well, but sometimes, you know, I almost feel like, because after that I was hearing he was not the nicest man around.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, do you want to meet somebody who's going to, like, chop your head off after you meet him? After, like, he yells at you and you're like, but I really like
you. He doesn't so much yell as he is so consumed with, was consumed with living in the now and present that everything else just didn't interest him. So if you couldn't, I read this great piece in the New York Times, if you couldn't hold your own in a conversation or offer something fun, unique, current, he just had no time for you.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so.
You don't want Karl Lagerfeld at a comedy club.
No.
You do not want him in the front row, like.
But he was very funny himself.
He was,
he
really
goes, I am working class. I work and I have class.
This is good. Listen, I guess he earned the right to be rude,
yes.
Right? He absolutely earned it, but I mean, I have to say, having both of us worked in the entertainment industry, there are certain people that I, to this day, like, don't want to meet because I just have this vision of if I meet them and they're mean, I'll be just so depressed.
Well, you know who's interesting is Fran Lebowitz, and I always thought she...
Is it Fran or Annie?
Well, there's two. Annie Leibovitz is the photographer.
Right.
Fran Lebowitz is the author, media gadfly.
Oh, okay.
She's always speaking.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it.
So I'm obsessed with Fran. I think she's the funniest.
Are they sisters?
No, not at all.
Not even related?
No.
No.
And,
okay, just their talented Leibovitz.
So Annie Leibovitz is the famed photographer.
Yeah.
Fran Lebowitz. But she is so cutting, like the stuff she, the quotes she says, one of them was, your life story will not make a good book. Don't even try. That's what she says.
Okay.
And she said, you're only as good as your last haircut. And what are some of her other ones? Never ask a child what he wants, or what was it? Never ask a child what he wants to eat for dinner unless he's buying.
I like that. That's good. I used to say I'm not a short order cook.
Yeah.
You know, what am I? It's not that I'm going to be making everybody a different meal tonight.
Right.
If you eat it or you walk away, that's the end.
But so we used to do these salons where we would, we did at the Surrey. So we would work with the Surrey and we would get their presidential suite and we would have a guest speaker and we would invite like 30 really cool people. And the idea was to kind of foster like intimate conversation and intelligent and with like interesting people in the same room. So I brought in Fran, and I was scared to death. She's going to insult me. She's going to say something really witty at my expense. She couldn't have been nicer.
Really?
She was so nice. And it was funny because, you know, when you deal with talent, you're like, okay, what's that on the rider? Do they need green M&Ms? Do we have to have this? All she wanted was a turkey sandwich.
That's easy.
That's all she wanted.
That's very easy.
To go. So she talks a lot, and she had a great conversation, and I just love her.
That's great.
Yeah, so... But that was one of them where you're really nervous you're to meet because I was like...
Well, it's intimidating because they are so smart. Yes. And that's the thing, too. It's that when you do meet a writer that you love...
Yeah.
That and it is totally intimidating sometimes. Right. I mean, I've met my chick lit favorite writers, and I've even done PR for some of them. And I never felt like I was stumped. You know, I didn't get stumped.
Right.
It wasn't an intellectual. We weren't talking about world politics. Right. We were like, hey, when you know, Jane hooks up with that guy, what were you thinking?
Yeah, there are certain people, like, I'm really nervous to meet. Like, Madonna, I heard she's a tough cookie.
Oh, I don't want to meet her.
Yeah. Well,
I
just
meet,
for,
yeah.
Just, you know, because she's such an icon.
Yeah. You know, I want to meet, like, Drew Barrymore. I almost met her, and my daughter, unfortunately, was sick that day, so I couldn't go.
Okay.
So I didn't meet her. So I haven't met Drew Barrymore yet, but I hear she's actually nice.
Yeah?
So,
okay.
And my daughter's middle name is Drew.
Oh, perfect.
So, you know.
You know, I would like to meet Anna Wintour.
I want to meet, like, all the scary people. I so don't want to meet scary people.
I just want to say I met them.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
You just want to, like, I met them. I don't know. I don't like being around people that make me feel less of who I am.
Yeah.
Like, you know what it is? Like, Anna Wintour would make me feel weight conscious. Like, I could totally, like, see her being that way. And
yeah.
I don't like that.
You know, there's the stories, though, about her are so, just crack me up. Like, you're not allowed to have food on your desk. And so she does not want to see people eat. And you know, there's definitely a code, like, you know, but it's, you know, she's selling a brand. So I do get it. Like, if you're selling beauty, you kind of have to live it.
Yeah.
I guess. Isn't there?
Yeah. But that got to a point where you know, people were making, I mean, when I first started in the entertainment industry and I actually did want to work in magazines, I'll never forget the starting salary for an assistant job was $18,000
a year.
And at the time, I was going for my master's in journalism, and I was working part-time at a PR firm. And the only reason why I stayed was because the starting salaries in PR was $25,000.
Oh, my God.
So you couldn't go. It was like, you know, you can't go backwards.
Right.
Like, oh, if I do that.
Yeah.
So you had to either go in knowing you were making peanuts, and then yet you had a dress. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, buy those things. You were, you know, a friend
of
mine.
Well, they read the freebies a lot.
Yeah,
they
do. But a friend of mine, my friend Lauren Brown, she actually has Lauren Brown West Rosenthal. She has a blog called The Not So It Girl. And so she worked in, like, the women's magazine space and moved over. But she actually was in there was an article in the New York Post where she went bankrupt.
I read that.
That's
you're friends
my
with
friend.
Her?
She's
no
going to be a guest.
Way.
We got to, like, get Lauren.
Oh, my
Lauren
God. Absolutely.
Lauren's fabulous. Yeah, she...
Yeah, she went broke trying to, like, just keep up.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I remember, because, like, I worked with her many times over when I worked on the Ricky Lake show a million years ago. We were doing, like, interviews and cover stories and things, and so she was at those, like, teen magazines back then. And so I know Lauren throughout her whole career.
Oh, my God.
And it's so interesting. And the other thing, too, is that she also worked for AMI.
Oh, boy.
So she has stories about the whole, that
oh
creepy,
boy.
Like,
yeah.
Those creepy men.
Yes.
So that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, I mean, she did go, you know, she did go bankrupt trying to live.
Well, yeah, it'll happen because, you know, I mean, New York is an expensive city. And then when you raise it to the Condé Nast where it's a bubble and, you know, you can go broke because.
Totally.
They don't pay the salaries to live that life.
No. You know, they do eventually.
They do eventually.
That was the thing. Like,
or they did eventually.
They
now
did.
They're,
yeah, now all those people are fired. But right. And they're all at the Wing, which is where I'm a member.
Oh, my God.
I'm an exclusive member. I'm part of the Gen X resistance that has broken
oh
into
God,
the Wing.
That is so
they don't
funny.
Even want me there. They're like, how old are you? I'm like, 27. I was born in 1986. I know.
You're doing the math.
I don't even know. No, 1986 would be how old?
23.
Right? Oh, no, I don't know. 33? 33. 33! Girl, that was when I graduated high school.
Oh, God.
That's horrible.
That's terrible.
Horrible. I'm
going
to have,
God.
Like, my 30-year college reunion.
Ugh.
But the thing I can say about me is that I started college at 16 and I graduated when I was 20. So
that's amazing.
I was young.
Yeah, you were young.
And I always used to have, and that was the thing about work that was so frustrating, is that I would start my, like, I would try to go for a job. And I actually went for a job once when I was the publicist at Ricky Lake. I went for a job at People Magazine as a publicist for InStyle.
Oh, my God.
I was 23 years old. And I made it through the final round.
Oh, my God.
And I'll never forget. The person who was, like, the publisher, was his name was Lanny Jones.
Okay.
He's, like, really old and famous and whatever. And I went in there, and he was just like, how do you think that you're going to be able to do this? You're like a kid, you know? And then I was just like, I can do anything. And then I never get called back. And I'm I know my energy scares people.
Yeah.
It scares people all the time. Well. And now that I'm older, they're like, she knows way too much. Just go away. So now I'm the exact opposite.
Well, you know, a nice segue, because I am I'm editing your book, Purpose.
That Fran Lebowitz said that I should write about myself.
Yeah.
So now I am.
Yeah. Purpose, chart your course and change your life. So I edited it, just not for content, more for punctuation, grammar, tightening a few sentences here and there. You'll probably call me screaming because you can't read anything I wrote.
But tell me, what was your takeaway? Because you said you really liked it, so I'm like so excited
that you did. Well, I liked a lot of the tips, and what I really liked is what you did is you gave your story, but then you gave lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool because a lot of people just tell the story and it's up to the reader to kind of glean, like, okay, well, what did she mean? Where you just lay it down the line and say, do this, don't do that. And, you know, it really, one of the things that got me is it's really, you're the driver in your life, and you have to take the wheel. You can't wait for someone else to push the car or start it. You really have to do that. And there's some things that you mentioned, some platforms or programs. I had no idea what you were talking about.
Oh, but about that's because I'm 80 years old.
Yeah.
Doing, right.
Like just say no, which I thought was great because a lot of I have that. I always, the disease to please.
Yes.
I always say yes to everything. And then the day of, I get really angry at myself. I'm like, I don't want to go downtown.
I can't believe I did this.
I can't. And then, you know, but like one of the things you said is you don't want to be that person who cancels at the last minute because you get a reputation for that.
Yeah.
And then you stop getting invited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is that I found over the last few years, it's been difficult, you know, in terms of finding business. The PR industry has changed a lot and I stopped networking. I think it was just more, you know, I was dealing with family stuff,
right,
and I just kind of was like, all right, I don't need to go to this thing or that thing. And the minute I stopped networking is when the business started drying up. The minute I started networking again,
mm-hmm.
it all of a sudden the stuff rolled in.
Yeah, there's a correlation.
There is absolutely, because so many people are trapped on their phones. You and I, so we talk all week long about, oh, I sent out this pitch and that pitch and nobody's getting back to me. And I'm telling you, like, for me, if I see someone, I know I can get my story planted mm-hmm. or whatever. And this is the funniest. Oh, my God. Yesterday, I was watching Inside Edition. I watch some of these shows just to see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Inside Edition is one of these, like, news magazines. I'm doing air quotes. News magazine shows, right? So yesterday there was a piece about a woman who lost a purse in 1954 at her junior prom or whatever. And they were wrecking the school and they were excavating and they found her purse.
Oh, my God.
So they open the purse and she's, like, Skyping with the producer. Oh, they found my lipstick. Oh, somebody's calling us. What's going on here? Hold on. Wait 1 second. Somebody rang our phone, but that's okay.
Yes.
We're back. So she's looking at the purse, right?
Uh-huh.
She takes out this, like, lipstick from 1954,
oh my God.
A compact, a note about someone who wanted to take her to the next whatever. There were pictures in there. And I sat there and I was looking, and my son was sitting next to me, and I said, are you kidding me? I can't even get my fabulous client placed on these shows, and they're doing a story about a lady who dropped her purse in 1954? And my son looks at me and he goes, Mom, you are Beverly Goldberg. Because that was the most classic Beverly Goldberg line I have ever heard.
That is hysterical.
And I'm like, but what is going on that you're covering a purse and you don't answer my email? What is wrong with you? So I'm at this point where it's like you need to be out there and go for what you want. And another thing that I actually just watched, do you watch This Is Us at all?
No. I saw the first episode. It was great, but I was like, this is going to be too emotionally investing.
A lot of crying going on.
And I, nah.
All right, well, but there's something that hit home with me on This Is Us this week, and it's all about my story here. There's a character whose name is Beth, and it's just, it's very interesting that, and Beth's lifelong dream was to be a dancer. Now, my lifelong dream was not to be a dancer. It was to be on Broadway singing, but whatever. And in her story, Felicia Rashad plays her mom, and she's very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, her father gets sick. He has cancer, and he passes away, and she does not get, like, the lead in the dance company for something.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to try again, wants to keep going, and her mother says, no, we're going to close the door on this, and now we're going to go to college, and you're going to do something else. And so she stops dead in her tracks, and she has to go and move on to a different life. And that at that point, she was so sad, because
right.
all she did was give herself one chance, and then she never tried again. And that hit home with me so
right.
much,
yeah.
because that's what I did to myself.
Yeah.
I was not in the driver's seat of
right.
my life.
Yep.
I kept on being pulled into other people's stories.
Yeah.
And so I still sing. I still write.
Right,
I still
right.
do those things. I'm just not doing it
yeah.
where in my, 12-year-old self had envisioned myself.
Yeah.
And that's why as a parent, I am so focused, laser focused on getting my kids to get to where they really want to go.
Right.
And I think that's what's so important for everyone. And there's never a time where you don't have to. You could be any age
yeah.
to finally do what you want to do.
Well, what I love about, because you have anecdotes about your family and with Darren and the sports camp
mm-hmm.
that he did, that was something he always wanted and he made
sports
it happen. Sports facility and your son Dylan with the basketball team and,
yeah.
He didn't make it, but he's putting so much
time
and investment and it's something he really wants.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the big thing. I mean, I think so many of us, when we're rejected in life,
you just give up.
We turn away. I mean, even in terms of, look, as a writer, I've been published before,
right?
But I haven't been published by a major women's magazine,
right.
and I might have been quoted, but not
mm-hmm.
actually like whatever. But I think part of me always stops myself from submitting because I don't want to get that rejection.
I'm used to it.
I know, but you have to have such a thick skin.
Yeah, you do. You do. And you have to realize it's not you, it's them.
Right.
You know, maybe it's not what they're looking for or the wrong time or, a lot of editors, they prefer other writers. They want to hire their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never you. It's always someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And it's finally taken me to realize that I have to just be. And what's so funny is that my Friday column that I do
mm-hmm.
that you've also helped me
yes.
with before.
I know nothing about that.
You know nothing about some of the wonderful ideas that we kick around. But yeah, I have really, I love it because people now, when I post it, they say to me, oh my God, I've been waiting for this all day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really? And then somebody else wrote who didn't know me, she's a really great writer. I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you. I don't know you, but thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
What's your name again?
Right. I mean, never be published by the New York Times Magazine, but I can absolutely be published by the Post.
Yeah, yeah.
The Washington Post and the New York Post.
Well, you know what's so funny is they, Saturday Night Live did a spoof on the New York Post once, and they did... the kind of commercial that the New York Times used to have where, the family's, like, lounging around Sunday reading the paper and they're like, I like international sports coverage and I like the cooking, whatever. And so they did a spoof of the New York Post and it's all these, like, really crazy people and they're like, I like the horoscope. Sagittarius, bitches! And it was the New York Post.
It is! Listen, I have the app on my phone.
It is the most fun newspaper to read.
Totally!
They are so witty in the headlines, and I love the photo illustrations when they put, I remember once Katie Couric was dating someone younger, and they put her head on a cougar.
So mean.
And then the publisher of the New York Times, the one who just retired, Sulzberger, he got in a bike accident, and he had a black eye. So they took a photo. And any time the New York Post was mentioned, they ran that photo of him with a black eye.
It's so bad.
I mean, that's hysterical.
They are funny.
They are so funny.
I actually just saw a documentary about Pete Hamill and Jimmy Breslin.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how when, was it the Post that got taken over or was it the Daily News? It may have been the Daily News. One of them was like taken over. Abe Hirschfeld came in.
Yeah.
And they got rid of the majority of the staff, but they all still met, like the ones that were left,
right,
met with like Pete Hamill at like a diner.
Oh.
And they still put out the same paper
with him.
And they were
even
meaner.
I love it.
Like to just get back at him. And it was like the coolest thing. They were renegades back then.
I mean, it is, you know, what I love about the New York Post is they have a sense of humor what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
They really have. It's so witty and irreverent and...
Well, the headlines.
And the headlines. And you can see they're just cracking each other up writing these headlines.
Right.
You know?
It's you know, you got to be talented to write headlines. Yeah. I always send my headlines to you and you're like, no. Oh, my God, Beth. You need to remove like 20 words right now. That's not a headline. That's a paragraph. I'm like, I can't do the subject ahead.
Oh, my God. Anyways, the book is fantastic. I have lots.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you can see how
he has a lot of notes. But he edited my first book, Peeing in Peace, and I remember he told me how he would laugh on the train.
Oh my God, I was
my book about motherhood.
Well, what's so funny was Peeing in Peace, and I'll never forget. I was taking the Excella to Washington D.C. This is 94. No, not 94. 2004?
No, 2005. Yeah, 2004. Yes.
And I was going down to D.C., and I'm in the quiet car on Amtrak, and I'm just laughing uproariously, and everyone's like, shh, shh, and I'm like, ah! And I got a lot
And you're
of,
about motherhood.
Oh, yeah, and I got a lot of evil stares.
Right.
Because they're like, you're in the quiet car. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's really funny.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, as a writer, I always, and I'm sure, and you do the same thing. It's like, I love to, when you're storytelling, it's coming up with like, what are the words that you can create, paint a picture with the words. And so I will go back over and over and over again until I finally get like, okay, what's that word?
Right.
To describe that moment.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of those moments back then.
Well, you know what's interesting? So I listened to a podcast this morning. It's called Hello Baby. And it is Angela Lanter. She has that platform, Hello Gorgeous.
Okay.
And her husband is Matt Lanter, who's an actor. And I know them because they were on, he was on a CW show, 90210.
Okay.
And we did a photo shoot with them, Matt and one of his co-stars. We brought them to London. And then we were doing our last photo shoot in Paris. So Matt and Angela came with us. And he proposed to her on the trip.
Oh, nice.
And they were talking about it, and they mentioned me.
Oh, cool.
And I had completely forgotten the story where, so we gave them an extra hotel room, and Matt was going to propose to Angela on this boat. The Plaza Athénée owns a boat that goes up and down the Seine River, and Matt rented it, and he had this whole thing. He was going to propose. I was on the boat. I was taking photos, and then Kristen Hall. And it was the torrential rain. You couldn't see out the windows. The boat was rocking back and forth.
Oh, my God.
And then he just decided, I can't do it like this. And so they went back to the hotel and then went out somewhere else, and he popped the question there. But I'm listening to this. I'm like, I forgot about this. Like, I have all these stories that I need to...
Like, go back and...
Yeah.
Mind. Well, because that was his story, too.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So there are certain things where you're directly involved in, and this one was more of like, you know, that was like their thing that they were doing.
And it was so funny. One of the things I totally forgot about, but is absolutely true. When we were in London, we were getting on the train, and he tweeted, I can't wait to go to Paris. I'm on the train. The train got there. Hundreds of screaming girls.
Oh, my God.
Hundreds. And we had to get him off the train and, like, into this van. And I think I kicked and punched a bunch of these little girls because we had to get him.
It's so funny.
So we got him through. And then all of a sudden things quieted down. And we're in the van going to the hotel. Then the paparazzi started on these motorbikes.
Oh, God, that's the...
And they followed us to the hotel.
Oh, no, that's a Princess Diana thing.
Yeah, and then all these girls stood outside, and one of them stayed overnight waiting for him.
Oh.
And I was like, I had no idea how big this show was, because, you know, and the...
Yeah.
In the U.S., the remake of 90210 was not a big deal.
No, it wasn't a big deal.
It was not a big deal. But he actually had to, they had to leave outside the back of the hotel the entire trip because these people would just follow them.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll never have that, but that's all right. That's all right. It's okay.
All right.
We can go anywhere. We can tweet anything. Sometimes I get a mention. Sometimes I get a like.
There you go.
You know, one heart.
There
whatever.
You go. It's funny. I have a, I mean, it's not funny. It's actually quite sad. I have a pen name of a character I just made up.
Yeah.
And I set him up with Instagram. And he keeps getting new friends. I'm losing friends.
Oh.
And this fake person is gaining friends.
I love it.
And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I went down 3 followers this week. And he's got like 10 new ones.
I don't even know.
And he hasn't posted.
Anything.
Like
people
things.
Just following.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never understand that. I always look at my Instagram numbers and I'm like, I didn't even, I guess I pressed whatever button it was that if you follow me, I follow you
right
back. Right. But I keep losing too. Like,
yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Are people just pruning their
I think
their
so. Like, if you
list?
Don't follow them back quick enough or
yeah.
they start, who the heck knows? You know, it's funny though. My daughter, she has about the same amount of followers as me, but she can post a photo and she'll have 500 likes on it.
Oh my God.
Like,
I'm lucky if I get up to 40. I think 40 is the most I've ever had. I mean, I only have 930 followers.
Yeah, no, I have like 1,500, but she, like, I've only gotten a lot of, like, hearts when she's with me in a photo.
Right.
But other than that, like, she posted something yesterday, she has like 500.
Oh my God. I have 5,000 Facebook.
Oh, that's a lot.
But it's only because I will confirm anybody. Honestly, if you really want to know about my boring life, come on.
You know, I have to tell you, though, after the 2016 election, I did cut a lot of people out.
Yeah.
Because it got really contentious. I don't really post about politics anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, on Twitter, I'll like somebody or whatever.
Well, that's why I like Instagram, because it's about the image, not about, like, you know, you can post something on Facebook, the most innocent thing, and there will always be that one person who makes it political.
Yeah.
And my rule is, like, once you go there, you're out.
Yeah, but it gets really, and it's funny because there are people that I have met, like, in the last couple of years that are super right-wing, but I actually enjoy their company.
Yeah.
Because the one thing I could say about the super right-wingers is they tell you what they think to your face.
Yeah, and by the way, most true conservatives hate Donald Trump. They think he
yeah.
is an abomination.
Yeah.
Like, he has completely bastardized the whole party. It's not what they stand for.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's Friday. It's Mueller time.
Yeah, Mueller time.
It's Friday.
I heard next week it's going to, the report is
yeah,
coming.
Yeah, see the lowdown I get on Twitter, like from all my like people that are in, you know, the
right.
deep state, whatever. They say, there was one thing that said that like Barr is really with he's actually on our side.
Yeah.
But he got himself in because they know they're sort
right.
of, so that's what I'm hanging my
yeah.
hope bar, my hat on, like saying that he's actually going in to like say, all right. Let's just, like, if he's really a crook, let's just take care
oh, yeah,
of this thing.
Yeah, yeah. I
hope.
I mean, he had that job before, so he understands the institution. He has been attorney general before. He knows how things work.
He just, you know what, I just think that a lot of people are going to be swept up in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people coming crashing down, and then this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Oh, boy,
which
yeah.
is so interesting. I was watching Morning Joe today.
Yes.
And they were talking about, and I think it was Donnie Deutsch, one of them, was saying how, they weren't naming names, but I knew exactly who they were talking about. And it wasn't just Trump, about how, you know, other high-powered people who are connected to
mm-hmm.
Epstein. And one of them is Alan Dershowitz. Who is very much was connected to him. So every time something comes up against Trump, Dershowitz is always fighting for him. Dershowitz is always fighting for Epstein. He's
yep.
always behind the
yep.
scenes trying to, like, needle himself in
right.
to cover his you-know-what. And it was so interesting watching Morning Joe today because I'm like, you're talking about Dershowitz. You know you're
and
talking about Dershowitz.
Clinton. Epstein.
Yeah.
He was in that
circle, too.
Circle where, you know, Bill hung out with all the billionaires.
Yeah.
Like Ron Burkle and all these other people and Stephen Bing. And he was in that
world.
In
it's
that
creepy.
World.
It's just creepy and sad. And I don't know. And the guy, Acosta, who gets a cabinet position.
Oh, I know.
And he, like, supposedly was like, yeah, we won't tell the victims that we let you go.
Well, it's funny. There was a Vanity Fair piece about Clinton after leaving office. He started hanging around all these billionaires with their private planes. And, you know, Bill still has Secret Service protection.
Right.
So... They used to call the private plane, excuse my French, but they used to call it Air Fuck One, because all these beautiful girls would be there in private plane. Everybody was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, we need to get them off that plane.
Oh my God. Wow.
It was a really big article in Vanity Fair. I remember reading it and I was laughing so hard.
Oh, geez. Look, he had a lot of charisma, that
yeah.
Clinton.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. That case, I think, is going to get swept up in this whole mess. There's so much. There's like, it's like, with Trump, there's like so much that he keeps putting under the carpet that there's like a mound of dirt in the middle of the carpet right now.
Well, our colleague, Louis Miranda, he told me, I remember when Trump got elected, he said, this is what you're going to see. He is going to make a big stink every week. And the strategy is just get people tired and... Oh, breaking news. Every week it's something breaking news. So then it's the fatigue thing. So when something really
bad
big,
happens, yeah.
you're just like, oh, breaking news again. It's, you know, he's basically brainwashing us. Mm. And so when the big bomb drops, I mean, he's like, you know, fake news and enemy of the people. I mean, his people now,
they're going
to completely disregard Mueller's report. They already said it's tainted. They already, you know... Poor FBI, they keep throwing people. Oh, it's just horrible.
Well, and I mean, I've been watching Andy McCabe everywhere. He's like on everything.
Oh, yeah,
he's like, hey, I'm at the post office today. What do you want to know?
I'm live tweeting from McDonald's.
Hey, what do you want to know? We're going to have him on the giggle next week.
We should totally have him.
We have Andy McCabe on the giggle. I'll just like say, hey, dude, come on, man.
Oh,
what was going on?
Yeah, that poor guy.
Yeah.
You know, and then they fired him.
And his wife, how does it feel to be a loser? Go F yourself.
Oh,
that's totally a, you know, how does your wife feel to be a loser?
He is, you know what, it's funny. You look at these journalists who are covering Trump now, and it's almost like this is bigger than Watergate.
Yeah, it is.
It really
ten
is.
10 times Watergate.
They are going, this man is going to go down in flames so hard.
But the problem is that there are so many Republicans who are swept up in this. Lindsey Graham, there is something that somebody has on Lindsey Graham because you can't just completely change your perception of
100%.
Him unless somebody's blackmailing
right.
you. I'm sorry. Mitch McConnell has been dirty for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
He's going down.
Yeah.
He's totally like, Kentucky's like, see ya.
Yeah.
I'm going
to... Well, he's an embarrassment.
I know. Going to Kentucky, going to the fair. I'm going to vote out Mitch McConnell. Hope to see you all there.
Did you just make that up?
Just made it up. Just made it up. That was my rap. Just made it up.
That's so funny.
I'm telling you.
I think
done.
It's just a giant house of cards. And the other thing is... Mueller, I think he's nailed it. I think he's going to prove that there was a direct link between the Russians, WikiLeaks, Roger Stone, that Cambridge Analytica, and the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
I think it's just literally like...
I remember, and I don't remember if it was Fortune magazine, there was a big article right after the election about how Jared Kushner took
that
credit.
Was Forbes.
Forbes.
Yes.
Yes.
And they basically laid out Mueller's case. All you have to do is read that, and you
right. And Kushner was like
bragging
about
about
how he was the one who they really, because they went in and they would go and they would find the places to exploit, like, you know, the different cities they needed to be in and where to go and whatever.
And come to figure out the Russians were behind this, and they were basically telling the Russians where to spread their fake news.
Right. And compromising and getting all that compromising information from Facebook.
Yep.
So I bought that issue. I think I still have it in my bathroom.
Yeah.
I have to tell you. I'm going to go fish it out. Because I kept on saying that. I'm like, this is the first thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was... and what a dumb... He posed for the cover and he basically... Like, what a dumb thing to do. Like, why... This is like... The case against you.
But he had no idea that they'd ever get caught.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, here it is, his father already went to jail.
Right.
Like, you know, are you that above the law and that stupid? You know, I mean, and speaking of stupid, like the Jussie Smollett thing.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of stupid, you know, like, you you never come up with a crazy story and don't think that you're not going to be found out.
Yeah, and you know what? If it was just I got mugged, it'd be one thing. But he kept adding like little, oh, and there was a noose. And then they said MAGA. And I'm just like, and then they used a racial epithet. And it's like, wait a minute. Like, the two guys
are black. And they were hopping on a flight to Nigeria.
Yeah.
Like, guys, get out of town. Quick.
Right? And like, this kid is so, well, not kid, a guy is so stupid. You don't think there are cameras everywhere?
Right. And Chicago. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing, too. You know, it's, I get it. I get there's racial tension everywhere.
Right.
But there are certain places, like Charlottesville.
Yeah.
You know, there are, in the South, there is that, you know, there are people that are doing those kinds of things. And what he did was really make it seem like those things don't exist. And that's what Ann Coulter went ahead and said. Yeah. Oh, well, if his thing is a lie, then everything is a lie. And that's not what it is. And this guy, 2 years ago, he got arrested for a DUI, and he claimed to be his brother because he didn't want to get in trouble. And he also put out a music video that was anti-Trump 2 years ago. So,
You know, and the other thing is like, my brother lives in Chicago. People in Chicago are very proud.
Yes.
We live in Chicago. So if you go in there and you fake getting attacked and you basically impugn Chicago, they're going to come after you.
Totally. I mean, there's enough gun violence in Chicago. They don't need extra stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
So now they're really angry.
Yeah,
because now, you know, they got enough to worry about. Now you're making up crap.
And he's making $65,000
an episode.
Yeah.
Tear.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And apparently he wrote a letter to himself.
Yeah, he did like a one of those, you know, the magazine things.
Yeah.
Like, where he cut out the piece of the things.
And he was upset that he didn't get enough attention for that. So he kind of raised.
He raised the bar and he kept on going. And
so
then,
do you think he's going to get written out or?
Oh, they already said he's already been cut out of the last two. I just saw.
Really?
Yeah. They told him not to come to work. He's there. Until this case is kind of like figured out, they don't want to have that. They're
it's
not
so funny.
Continue.
Fox is responsible because 20 years ago, they would have milked this for publicity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh, he's at work. He's, well, it was, who was it?
Next week, the man you want to see.
Trevor Noah at the Daily Show was hilarious. He was like, he goes, listen, he's like, if he lied or he didn't lie, he goes, this guy deserves an Oscar for that performance. Because that was great. He's like.
And he's still claiming. He's still.
Well, I think it's a matter of now. It's a matter of pride. Like, if he admits, his whole career's over.
It's over.
He's the Tawana Brawley. Of this
but
generation.
You know what? He'll be on Celebrity Big Brother. He's now scraping bottom of the barrel. He's going to show up for club openings, and he's like anything like F-list.
Yeah,
D-list,
but it's
F-list.
Sad. But it's sad because I'm sure he wanted to be like the Terrence Howard. But he did not. This is not what this guy's aspirations were.
No.
He blew it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just
that's
so
sad. Because he has talent. He's a talented actor. You know?
And now we'll be teaching, he could do a master class in jail.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I have to say, I know we've been talking for a long time, but I don't even know how long we've been going, but it's really long. We'll do another few minutes. Did you see Escape from Dannemora?
No.
Okay. It's fantastic.
Patricia Arquette.
Gained
a lot of weight for this role.
Yeah. Bonnie Hunt. I don't know the names of the other characters, but Ben Stiller directed it. And the reason I bring it up is because someone that we were friends with, Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race, who I love, he has a podcast. It's Kick It Till You Tick It, or Tick It Till You Kick It. It's like about your bucket list.
Okay.
And he interviewed Bonnie Hunt. And I watched it the other day. And she plays, she works for the governor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's based on a true story.
Right.
Where she's actually interviewing Patricia Arquette's character to find out like how she actually was involved in this case, and she's terrific, but she's such a great storyteller.
Yeah,
and she told the story. Do you know that she would that Bonnie Hunt was a nurse, went to nursing school?
No way, I didn't know that.
Oh my God! Well, this was like a crazy story that she tells, and it's on the podcast, but her father passed away right when she was supposed to, like, start nursing school. Mm-hmm. He passed away suddenly, and it was they were so upset. And her mom, after it happened, her mom's like, you need to keep going. You need to go. And she said, I don't know if I can do this, Mom. I can't be around people, like, especially in this environment.
Right.
She's like, you know what? Stay until Friday and just keep going. And if you want to quit nursing school by Friday, you're allowed to quit. I'll let you quit. So she goes. And she said, and she meets this patient who worked in the same kind of area as her dad.
Right.
And he's so nice to her. And he's this Irish man. And he's dying from cancer. And he tells her the story about it. He said, you know, I feel lucky. She goes, why are you saying you feel lucky? And he said, well, because I get to say goodbye to my family. Like, I have this time to actually tell everyone mm-hmm. I love them. And he goes, because a friend of mine just died suddenly and he didn't have that opportunity. And at first she says, I didn't process it. And she goes, as I was thinking about it, she goes, I realized this guy worked for the Board of Ed. My dad was an electrician at the Board of Ed. She goes, so I asked him by the day that I was going to leave, what was the name of the man that you said that died suddenly? And he said it was her dad.
Oh, my God.
So she was like, oh, my God, my father must have reached out from heaven and came in and said, you need to go to nursing school.
Wow.
So she did. And she still, even though she's an actress
uh-huh.
and a talk show host and a director, all these things, she still actually helps patients.
Oh, that's so great.
How wonderful
that
is she?
That is so amazing.
So I just was, I know it was like all these complicated,
right.
but I had to get to that story because
no
I was
way.
Like, oh my God, I watched his podcast is video and
right.
audio. And I told his wife, who's one of the producers, Louise, I said, I cried three times watching.
Oh, Louise, how is she?
She's so nice.
I took them to China once.
Did you?
Yeah, in 2006. And we laughed so hard.
Aww,
oh, my God.
The nicest couple.
Oh, we had
oh
so
God.
Much fun.
Yeah, I
yeah.
love them. Speaking of, like, celebrities that are, you know, he's not, like, larger than life,
right.
but...
The nicest guy.
The nicest people on the planet.
Speaking of, also, the Oscar weekend.
Yes!
Yes.
So I've seen almost everything.
Okay. I don't think I've seen a lot of them.
Okay. I've seen... my personal pick is... I think Christian Bale for Vice. He's going to
oh,
be
yeah,
the best
yeah,
actor.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Best actress, I'm trying to think.
I mean, oh, it's going to be Glenn Close from The Wife. They have to give it
good,
to her.
She was good, but, like, why? I mean, she's stoic in it. She's, like, you know, she goes through a lot. She's almost like, you know what? This you remember the movie Big Eyes?
Oh, yeah, with Amy Adams and
right.
Christopher.
This is the
yeah.
Big Eyes of writing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This isn't based on a true story, though, is it?
I believe it is.
It is?
It is.
Wow, that's
and
crazy.
And I could be wrong. What I think is, I think it's going to be one of those things where she's getting the award for her career, not exactly for this,
okay.
but it's her time. I mean, she didn't, Dangerous Liaisons didn't get it, Fatal Attraction didn't get it, all these amazing movies, and she's been nominated.
You know, Meryl Streep gets it all the time,
Meryl,
she does,
yeah.
I guess she does
So
it.
I think this is her, because Meryl's not nominated.
Oh, okay.
So I think this is her
Meryl's
one chance.
Like, it's a year. She
although,
did Mamma Mia.
Lady Gaga, you know, it could.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but she's, like, playing herself,
yeah.
I feel like.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
It's
I heard
it's
really amazing.
It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that
either.
I do think he's fantastic in
right.
it. And so I would say either him or Christian Bale, but that Vice character, like, oh,
okay.
my God.
And there's something about actors who change their appearance for roles.
Yeah.
There's that always gives you a little, because he actually gained all
totally.
That weight.
Totally. I mean,
yeah.
it doesn't even look like him.
It doesn't look
at
like
all.
Him.
I mean, that's like last year with the Winston Churchill. Same
yeah,
thing.
Exactly. Gary Oldman, yeah.
Right. So that, yeah, but I think that, but that, I kind of feel like he's going to win. But Best Picture, I don't know. I mean, I saw, you know what, I saw, what's the Green Book, which I really liked.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
I like that
okay.
a lot.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. And, but my husband was like, eh. He wasn't as big on that. I think Bohemian Rhapsody was, like, the people's favorite.
Yeah.
I think that they'll like, snob it out.
Maybe,
like
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And so maybe A Star Is Born will get it.
Okay.
Maybe.
You know, there's, in today's New York Times, there's a really interesting story about the Vanity Fair Oscar party and how it's kind of lost its luster. And now Jay-Z has his own party and Madonna has her own. And one of the things was... is they've commercialized that party so much where there's 20 different sponsors and L'Oreal auctioned off 2 tickets to go to the party and then a lot of celebrities are like, we just want to let our hair down.
Yeah.
We don't want to be
on... Well, Jay-Z and Madonna, they're not... They're music.
Yeah,
like,
but...
It's
like,
not the Grammys.
Yeah, but they're having... They're having their own... But no press. Just, you know, 200 people come. There's something like 10... Not 10,000. Like 1,500 people at the Vanity Fair party. And a lot of the big celebs don't go anymore.
Wow.
Because it's like... Someone's going to be filming us with their camera phone. That it's like, oh, now go to the Polaroid booth for Crest White Strips. And, you know, like, who wants that? But
Jussie Smollett will go there.
Exactly. But the other thing, what was really interesting was, they said in 98, that's when kind of the party really reached its cultural boiling point. 55 million people watched the Oscars. They watched Titanic win. And now only 25 million watch. So the audience is literally in half.
Yeah, I get it. It's not as exciting.
No, it's just... And now there's like 10 movies nominated, so it's just like...
Yeah, I just try to see as many of them as I can.
Yeah.
The only thing I missed was Beale Street something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only one I didn't see, but I did see a lot. And I do feel like at least I could watch and feel like I know something. Because there have been times where I'm like, what? What? Yeah. The years that my kids were little, I saw nothing. Like, what do you mean Finding Nemo didn't win? It was a classic.
That's
it should have won every category.
Yeah. I have a friend, my friend Bobby, who has a 5-year-old daughter. And so he basically uses all the analogies from what she's watching. And I sometimes have a short-term memory issue, and so he called me Dory.
Oh, I love it.
He's like, okay, Dory. I'm like, when are you coming home? He's like, I've told you 10 times.
Oh, my God. See, I would call you 10-second Tom. Like, I'm in the 51st dates category.
You know what? I'm a need to know. Like, there's too much information.
Exactly. And then there's me who's like, I'm at the hotel. Where are you?
That was so funny. We're both at the front desk, and I'm like,
are you invisible?
I know. And there was this woman in the lobby, and she was blonde and a little heavier. I'm like, but that's not her.
Oh, my God.
I'm like... No, that's not her. It's like, I'm here. It was the funniest thing.
Oh, my God. Well, you should have seen a clue when I said, I really like this. It's like all old and like whatever.
I know. I was like, well,
it's not
I'm
really
like,
that
oh,
old.
Okay.
It's kind of like 1960s old if you consider that. It's kind of like that. No.
Oh, my God.
So, well, we've had a lot of fun here. We're definitely going to take a picture.
Absolutely.
And we'll have to check out the, I want to see if the rooftop is enclosed.
Yeah, maybe eat up there.
Yeah, that would be good. All right, well, thanks for listening,
thanks, everybody.
We were kind of like all over the place, but we still had a great time.
We had a great time.
Okay, listen in again.